Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, January 28th, 2026. We begin our reading on the front page. Political events coincide in Paxton. Political polarity. And we'll begin, ironically enough, on the left side of the page with the article entitled, Republican Meet and Greet Sees Big Turnout to Hear Candidates Make Pitch. Paxton. More than 200 people gathered at the Pueblo Lindo Mexican restaurant in Paxton on Saturday, January 24th, for a chance to meet and hear from a number of Republican candidates in the March 17th primary election. Among those taking part in the two-hour meet-and-greet event sponsored by the Ford County Republican Central Committee were gubernatorial candidates Ted Dabrowski, Rick Heidner, and Jim Mendrick, with Lieutenant Governor candidate Aaron Del Mar filling in for gubernatorial candidate and running mate Darren Bailey, who was absent due to the weather. Also speaking were Illinois Attorney General candidate Bob Fioretti, Illinois Secretary of State candidate Diane Harris, U.S. Senate candidates Don Tracy and Janine Evans, Ford County Clerk and Recorder Amy Frederick and challenger Kelsey Vaughn, Ford County Treasurer candidate Taylor Burnett, State Senators Chris Balkima and Chapin Rose, State Representative Jason Bunting and Jake Ford, Political Director for U.S. Department, U.S. Representative Darren LaHood. Each was asked to tell about themselves and their positive plans to lead Illinois into a better future, according to the Ford County Republican Central Committee's Chairman, Jeff Orr of Piper City. The Ford County Chronicle then published the remarks of all of these candidates, and to read through it all would take more than the time we have, and to try to selectively read would probably be unfair to both the Republican Party and to the candidates themselves. So we'll turn to what's on the right side of the front page. This is entitled, Democrats, No King's Marchers, Gather in Protest of Trump's Administration's Actions. This article was submitted by Tony Lee, a former Ford County State's Attorney. Approximately 40 Ford County Democrats and No Kings marchers gathered on Sunday at the Arcade Cafe's meeting room for a protest and meet and greet. Six of them marched on Market Street before joining the gathering. Numerous protest signs covered the north wall of the meeting room. The most prominent of those featured a large photo of Renee Nicole Good, the 37-year-old mother of three who was shot and killed in her car by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, officer as she attempted to leave a protest area in Minneapolis. At the start of the arcade gathering, the crowd was stunned to hear the news of another killing by ICE officers in Minneapolis. The victim was Alex Peretti, a 37-year-old intensive care nurse who had joined the widespread protests. Cell phone videos showed Peretti struggling with a group of five ICE officers who, seconds after taking Peretti to the ground and removing a legal firearm from him, opened fire, shooting Peretti numerous times. Former Ford County State's Attorney Tony Lee gave an opening statement to the group, which began by reviewing the circumstances surrounding the killing of Good and the response to it by the Department of Homeland Security and Justice Department and President Donald Trump. Lee followed this with a wide-ranging criticism of Trump's handling of the economy, Venezuela, and the attempted takeover of Greenland. Lee concluded by giving a history of No Kings Marches and urging those present to join in the next national No Kings March on June 14th. 10 other participants then spoke to the group. Topics included the affordability crisis for groceries, housing, and health care, attacks on voter rights, cuts to child care, and family assistance, the measles epidemic and the anti-vaccine, anti-science Department of Health, tariffs, tax breaks for the wealthy, abusive pardons, and whitewashing the January 6th insurrection and Republican complacency and cowardice. Amy Butler of Gibson City, chairman of the Ford County Democrats, addressed the attendees. Butler updated the group on statewide Democratic candidates, encouraged local involvement, and reminded everyone that Democrats would have a tent at the Paxton 4th of July celebration. Turning to page 2, we have a story from Ford County Circuit Court. Urbana man, age 64, sentenced to 20 years for meth delivery. Alan Burgeon is second co-defendant to plead guilty, get prison sentence. Paxton. A 64-year-old Urbana man was sentenced to 20 years in state prison on Tuesday, January 20th, after pleading guilty to unlawful delivery of methamphetamine, a Class X felony, for his role in what police called a major drug distribution ring in Gibson City and surrounding areas. Alan E. Burgeon, formerly of LODA, entered the plea before Judge Matt Fitton on the day before his jury trial was to begin in Ford County Circuit Court. In exchange for the plea, State's Attorney Andrew Killian dismissed two other Class X felony counts of methamphetamine delivery of 15 to 100 grams. The court record showed Bergen will be required to serve at least 50% of his sentence and will receive credit for 352 days already served at the Ford County Jail. Last month, Bergen's co-defendant, Angela K. Rutledge, 58, of Roberts, also pleaded guilty to the same charge, receiving an 11-year term in the Illinois Department of Corrections with day-for-day credit to apply. A third defendant, Kenneth C. Coltvite, 54, of Gibson City, faces two Class II felony charges of methamphetamine delivery and is due back in court on Monday, February 9th, amid ongoing plea negotiations. According to police, they were among four people arrested on felony methamphetamine charges last February, with the fourth never formally charged, following a controlled buy of about a quarter of a pound of the drug at Gibson City's North Park. Authorities later searched residences on North State Street and West 9th Street in Gibson City and a residence in LODA, seizing about half a pound of methamphetamine as a result of the investigation. Involved in the drug trafficking investigations were the Livingston County Sheriff's Office Proactive Unit, Ford County Sheriff's Office, and Gibson City, Paxton, and Fairbury Police Departments. This 20-year sentence is the direct result of exceptional coordination between law enforcement agency across multiple jurisdictions, Killian said in a news release. From the Paxton-Buckley LODA School Board, PBL to pay $207,200 to replace old chiller. Contract awarded to lowest bidder, Extreme Mechanical of Champaign. Paxton. The Paxton-Buckley LODA School Board voted 5-0 to accept a $207,200 bid from Extreme Mechanical of Champaign for the replacement of PBL Junior High School's chiller during a special meeting on Tuesday, January 20th. The bid, approved with two board members absent, was the lowest among seven received. The other bids were from A&R Mechanical Contractors of Urbana for $223,910, United Mechanical Group of Champaign for $227,300, Davis Houck Mechanical of Urbana for $233,500, Henson Robinson Company of Champaign for $240,000, E.L. Pruitt of Springfield for $248,776, and Mid Illinois Mechanical of Bloomington for $259,900, according to information provided by Unit Office Manager Amy Teske. Architects with Reifstek Reed of Champaign solicited bids on the school district's behalf for the replacement of the junior high's school's exterior pad-mounted chiller. According to a notice to prospective bidders published in the Ford County Chronicle, the work is to be substantially completed by May 8th. In December, the school board approved the school district's 10-year health and life safety survey, which included the replacement of the 20-year-old junior high school's chiller, which is, quote, worn out, unquote, and anticipated to become non-functional, according to school district documents. Another project recommended, but one that might be pushed back to another year, is the replacement of the school's boilers, which are outdated and at the end of their useful life, according to the documents. In September, the board approved applying to the Illinois State Board of Education for a school maintenance grant to help fund the chiller replacement. The matching grant of up to $50,000, if awarded, would be used alongside health and life safety funds to cover the estimated costs. And from the Paxton City Council, purchase proposals accepted for property. Paxton. The city is accepting sealed contract purchase proposals from anyone interested in buying a city-acquired residentially zoned lot at 354 East Fulton Street. Proposals from interested buyers will be accepted until the close of business on Monday, February 9th at City Hall and will be opened during a public meeting Tuesday, February 10th. Proposals must be submitted to City Hall in a sealed envelope, clearly marked 354 East Fulton Proposal, along with the interested party's name clearly printed on the exterior of the envelope. The prospective buyer also must state the proposed use of the property and the price being offered for the property, plus demonstrate sufficient funds to purchase the property. The property is being sold in an as-is condition. By law, the city cannot sell the property for less than 80% of its appraised value of $8,000. The city reserves the right to reject any and all contract purchase proposals received. Now, from the Moyer District Library in Gibson City, Moyer Library seeking feedback in February in Gibson City. The Moyer District Library in Gibson City is asking for feedback from community members throughout February, including comments, compliments, and concerns. There will be many ways to share your thoughts, said Library Director Jessica Titus. Starting February 2nd, there will be comment cards and a box available at the library with an online version available as well. The link will be in every February newsletter and on our website, Titus said. We will have QR codes on flyers posted at Moyer. You may choose to give your feedback with your name or anonymously. Also, Titus has scheduled time for drop-in conversations with patrons from 11:30 a.m. to 12:20 p.m. Tuesday, February 3rd, from 1 to 2 p.m. Saturday, February 14th, 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, February 20th, and 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, February 25th. You are also welcome to drop by the library at a convenient time for you, Titus said. No appointment, emails and phone calls are welcome too. Please consider sharing your comments, compliments, and concerns. They help us grow and better serve you. And from the Loda Village Board, Richard Coffey hired to mow village property. Loda. The Loda Village Board has approved the hiring of Richard Coffey to mow the village property this year. During the board's monthly meeting on Wednesday, January 14th, Village President John Zaliker asked trustees about hiring someone for mowing using the village equipment versus contracting the work out via a bidding process. Trustees voted 5-1, with Trustee John Boone voting no to go with the first option. The trustees then voted 5-1, with Boone again in dissent, and Trustee Sandy Coffey abstaining from the vote, to hire Richard Coffey for the job. Zalliker suggested Coffey, who had plowed snow and done other jobs for the village previously. Trustees said they had heard a lot of compliments about the work Coffey was doing. Also, during the board's monthly meeting at Village Hall, Zalliker gave a limited report on the absence of Treasurer Amanda Lovelace, who had surgery that day. According to Zalliker, Lovelace has been working to upload ordinances to the village's website, plus meeting minutes that had not yet been approved, posted. Trustees voted until February their approval of the purchase of equipment for the village tractor, including a skidster and backhoe attachment, to help in the event of excessive snow and any small digging projects the town might need done. Zalliker suggested the purchase of a security camera for the village park. Sandy Coffey said she first would consult someone with experience in cameras. Trustee Ron Dudley suggested that when the weather permits, the poles where the sand volleyball court was located in the park be removed and the remaining holes filled in. And a letter will be sent to the owner of the Loda Big Mart about the condition of a fence on the north end of his property, and the board agreed. Our next item comes from the Gibson City Melvin Sibley School Board. Board opts for no dual participation in sports in Gibson City. The question of whether to begin allowing student athletes to participate in multiple sports at once was posed to members of the Gibson City Melvin Sibley School Board during its monthly meeting on Wednesday, January 21st, but the conversation ended with no dual participation policy in place. It was not even brought to a vote, Superintendent Jeremy Darnell said after the meeting. The question was raised, do we want to initiate a policy to allow dual participation? But there was not a motion or a second. Darnell said he doubts the topic, which has been discussed repeatedly, will be brought up again any time in the foreseeable future. It's one of those things that has been raised multiple times, Darnell said. And at this time, we're going to continue to maintain our practice of not allowing dual participation. Darnell said that while other schools choose to allow dual participation, other schools choose not to allow it because of the challenges that it might bring about. The schools that allow it, some have very restrictive measures, like it can only be a certain scenario where it's allowed, which then creates even more questions, because it's, why do you allow one and not the other? Darnell said. And youth sports right now are one of those things where everyone has their opinion on how it should be managed, and so you end up having situation where individual children, individual parents, individual coaches, teams, sports are sometimes competing for the kids who got to compete for them. And it just creates a lot of difficulty in both human management and emotional management and participation regulations. There was a discussion around those things at the board meeting, and when you can't have something that is viewed as both equitable and appropriate, then it's one of those things where you don't add a variable that's going to create more difficulty or controversy. Also at the meeting, the board approved the school calendar for the 2026-27 school year. The calendar, which can be viewed on the school district's website, shows the first day of classes on August 17th and the last day before Memorial Day in May. It's a pretty good calendar, Darnell said. It allows for some nice breaks at spring break and Christmas, so it should be good. Also, The board voted to accept a $10,000 donation from GDM Seeds towards the Future Farmers of America program. A $10,000 donation from the First Presbyterian Church of Gibson City toward the school district's playground projects to be completed this spring and summer. And a $250 donation from the Gibson City Lighted Parade Committee to GCMS High School. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, January 28th. Vaughna R. Eustis, and that's spelled Heustis. Saybrook. Vaughna Rhea Eustis, 90, of Saybrook, died Sunday, January 18th at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. Funeral services were held Friday, January 23rd at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, followed by burial at Riverside Cemetery in Saybrook. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Cancer Society. Charles H. Merley, and that's spelled M-E-R-H-L-E-Y, Gilman. Charles Anthony Merley, 50, of Gilman, died Tuesday, January 20th at Gilman Healthcare Center in Gilman. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Earl Rinkenberger, Buckley. Earl Frederick Rinkenberger, 89, of Buckley, died Sunday, January 18th in Paxton. A graveside service was held January 24th at the First Evangelical Lutheran Cemetery in Alslip. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley. Bob R. Stevens, Gibson City. Bob R. Stevens, 73, of Gibson City, formerly of Sibley, died Sunday, January 18th at Carl Broman Hospital in Bloomington. Funeral services were held Saturday, January 24th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Gibson City Pentecostal Church. Naomi Wyant, Colfax. Naomi Burnett Wyant, 89, of Gibson City, formerly of Aerosmith, died at 2:14 a.m. Friday, January 23rd at Goldwater Care in Gibson City. Funeral services were held Tuesday, January 27th at the Duffy Pills Memorial Home in Colfax, with the Reverend Wendell Wardell officiating. Burial followed in Wiley Cemetery, Colfax. The family suggests memorials be given to Transitions Hospice or the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Janet F. Lindauer, Paxton. Janet F. Lindauer, 92, of Paxton, died at 5:58 a.m. Monday, January 26th, at Goldwater Care in Gibson City. Arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. We return to the news with a story from the Patton Button Multi-Township Assessment District. Magers resigns as tax assessor, Bruins named as replacement. Paxton. Fred Magers has resigned as multi-township assessor for Button and Patton townships, and Dell Bruins has been appointed to replace him. Magers defeated Bruins in last spring's election in his bid for another four-year term as multi-township assessor. The 56-year-old Magers, who had held the position for 20-plus years, cited his health in his January 7th resignation letter, which was received January 12th by Button Township Supervisor Shane Mullis and Patton Township Supervisor Mike Short, who both also serve on the Patton-Button Multi-Township Assessment District Board, with Mullis as president. Magers' resignation was effective immediately, Short said. The Multi-Township Assessment District Board affirmed the resignation at its January 15th meeting, when it also appointed Bruins to fill the unexpired term. Magers, a Clarence resident who owns and operates Magers Repair in Paxton, has also been serving on a contracted basis as tax assessor for Drummer, Dix, Lyman, Wall, Peach, Orchard, and Sullivan townships. It was not immediately known whether he also is vacating those positions. The 60-year-old Bruins of Paxton is the husband of Ford County Supervisor of Assessment Pam Bruins. A self-employed contractor, he has also served on the Ford County Public Building Commission for more than 20 years and previously served four terms as a Paxton alderman. During last year's elections, Bruin said he obtained his Certified Illinois Assessing Officer, CIAO, designation from the Illinois Property Assessment Institute the previous year. He also noted his 42 years of experience working in construction. As for his goals, Bruin said, "The first goal I have is that in the future I would like to see our county run as other counties do, in which the assessor is more than a field data collector. This means that I and the other assessors would be using the knowledge gained in the classes for the CIAO designation to figure the property values based on the data that is collected in the field. The second goal I would have would be to ensure that the work is turned in on time. Turning the work in on time in a timely fashion helps to be able to have the tax bill sent out in a timely manner, which has been a problem for in previous years. For my third goal, I would like to see us move to having fully digitized property records, as funds allow. My fourth goal is to be more transparent and accessible to the taxpayers. I would achieve this by fielding all phone calls and getting back to people in a timely manner. And my final goal is that I want to establish good working relationships with our other surrounding assessors to allow for us to share our knowledge and experience." And finally, as this cold weather continues, warming centers available on bitter cold days. Paxton. The Ford County Emergency Management Agency is reminding residents of the availability of warming centers across the county. With the exception of the Paxton Emergency Response Service Building, the warming centers are unmanned. There is a point of contact for each location, and people using the warming centers are advised to call first. Warming centers are available at, in Gibson City, the Moyer District Library, the Gibson Fire Protection District, the Gibson Bible Church, and in Kempton, the Kempton American Legion, Kempton Fire Protection District, in Melvin, the Melvin Community Center, in Piper City, the Piper City Community Center, in Paxton, the Paxton Emergency Response Service, and in Roberts, the Roberts Gym. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.